Connacht's Simon Coveney says it's realistic to expect a return of power sharing at Stormont before October the 31st, Brexit Day. But he admitted it won't be easy. There's been no government in the north for 2.5 years. Last night, Mr. Coveney met the new Northern Secretary, Julian Smith, to talk about that and about Brexit. Afterwards, he told our Northern editor, Tommy Gorman, that it had been a good meeting.
I think it's really important for lots of reasons that the Secretary of State and myself develop a good personal relationship that's based on trust. We have real work to do in Northern Ireland to help the parties find accommodation of each other. I think the last 2 weeks in particular in Northern Ireland have not been good. The commentary has become coarse, divisive and difficult. And I think we all understand why. And so I think more than ever, there's an obligation on the two governments to show leadership and to show unity together and a sense of purpose that we're going to create positive momentum, which is not easy in Northern Ireland right now.
Is it realistic in any way to think you can get parties to commit to power sharing this side of the Brexit challenge playing out?
I think that is realistic, but it won't be easy. We've spent the last 16 weeks or so talking about the issues that need to be resolved as a basis or a foundation for an executive to be re-established. I think there's been a lot of good work in that period, even though there's also been a lot of frustration because we had hoped to do it a lot quicker. We don't have full agreement on everything yet, we know that. But I do think you will see the Secretary of State and I working closely together to try to get positive impetus back into this process.
In the next few days, next few weeks, or when?
Look, I don't want to put timelines on it. I'm not sure that that's helpful. But certainly, people have taken some well-earned time off in recent weeks. But I think there's a real sense of focus and purpose in both offices, both mine and Julian Smith's now. And I think you'll see an intensification of effort from the two governments in the coming days.
Can I ask you about the exchanges that took place in recent days? Donald Tusk, the Taoiseach, the conversation with Boris Johnson, Boris Johnson's latest comments. Things are not heading towards compromise, it would seem, in the immediate future.
Yeah, but I would say no surprises there. Boris Johnson has outlined the position that his new government is taking on Brexit. It's less compromising. It's not a surprise that the Irish government has reiterated the position that we've held now for a number of years, which is the same as the EU's position. And I think what Donald Tusk has said, what the EU Commission has said today, is absolutely in sync with what the Irish government said today and has been saying for many months. The withdrawal agreement is not up for renegotiation. The backstop is an integral part of that withdrawal agreement. And it's there for good reason. It was designed by the UK and the EU and Ireland working together to try to provide reassurance to people living in Northern Ireland that they're not going to face the consequences of physical border infrastructure in the future on this island. And that's why we are so protective of it. It is Brexit that is potentially putting stress on the Good Friday Agreement and the principles behind it. And the backstop is part of how we mitigate against that damage taking place. So I think what we've seen in the last number of days really is the new British government outlining its position firmly, and the Irish government and the EU responding firmly with their position.
You're off to Denmark. Boris Johnson is off to Berlin.
Paris.
Yeah. So, why are you travelling to those capitals? We know what he's attempting to do.
Actually, in the next few weeks, I'll be to a lot of EU states. Actually, we'll be to Helsinki. We'll be to Prague. We'll go to Warsaw. We go to Copenhagen. So. I think it's sensible for me to spend some time with colleagues in other EU capitals, essentially reinforcing the Irish message and the appreciation that we have of the solidarity that has been shown to Ireland through this Brexit process, as it draws to a to a conclusion. But look, we will be working towards trying to find a way of getting a deal that prevents a no-deal Brexit. But ultimately, this will be a choice for the British government. The EU have been consistent throughout. The British government have not. Unfortunately, we've seen the British Prime Minister say that he will no longer commit to the commitments that he and government made when the commitments to Ireland and to the EU were made in writing in December 2017. You know, our position remains consistent. It remains fair. And in my view, is the only way that we will see a managed, sensible Brexit. The choice remains for both the British Parliament and the British government as to whether they want to work within those parameters.
It would seem that Boris Johnson may be heading towards a no-deal Brexit. And in those circumstances, is the Irish government going to have to start articulating the plans it has to uphold the European Union's single market policy and to protect that those principles? And that's going to involve surely some form of controls on the island of Ireland between European Union territory and the United Kingdom.
Well, look, you're making a number of assumptions there. I mean, I think there's a number of things I'd say from the conversations that have happened in the last number of days. Certainly the conversation between the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister would suggest that both want to avoid a no-deal Brexit. Certainly my conversations with the Brexit Secretary today would reinforce that message, that the British government is looking for a way to avoid a no-deal Brexit and wants to find a way of getting a deal done. And that's been reinforced again this evening with the Secretary of State. So I think there's a long way to go here. You know, 2.5 months or less than 2.5 months may seem like a very short period, but in politics, a lot can happen in that period of time. So I think speculating on the detail of how a no-deal Brexit will be managed, it's probably not helpful to do that tonight.
That's the Taoiseach then, Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney, speaking to our Northern editor Tommy Gorman after his meeting last night with the new Northern Secretary Julian Smith. Tommy joins us now. Tommy, a lot in that interview. Let's go back to the talks process about Stormont. He said it was realistic but not easy to have Stormont up and running by October the 31st. Others I talked to there who are close to the process say there's nothing meaningful happening at Stormont. What's your assessment?
Well, that was Simon Coveney on the street in Hillsborough at around 11 o'clock last night after he had spent 4 hours in the company of Julian Smith, the new Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. And I think in relation to the talks and the political situation in Northern Ireland, what he was reflecting was a recognition that there's real tension in communities. There's a sense of frustration. There's no government. There's quite an amount of age. You saw that a bomb attack on police officers in Fermanagh on Monday. And I think Simon Coveney and Julian Smith both recognise that, look, Boris Johnson is coming to Dublin in September. There are decisions going to have to be made about the future of Stormont before the Brexit deadline of October 31st. It's October 21st. Are they going to extend its remit once more, postpone elections once more? And I think he was acknowledging, and Julian Smith acknowledges, it would be much better for everyone if we could get politicians back working together, because it's very, very bad for the ongoing political relationships in Northern Ireland and British-Irish relations. And that's, I think, what he was pointing to there, that they have to try to get politics back up and running before Brexit, I suppose, adds to the tensions.
Yes, and because Dominic Raab has already said, that's the Britain's Foreign Secretary, has already said that if there isn't power sharing up and running by October the 31st, it'll be direct rule.
Exactly, Audrey. Like, it's what, January 2017, since the collapse of Stormont. It's going to be 3 years next January. So how long do you keep postponing? And if you admit that, look, we can't put it together now, well, then you can't just keep it in cold storage forever. And it would maybe involve moving to direct rule. Now, what would that do to tensions between nationalists and unionists? What would that do to a big achievement of the Good Friday Agreement, power sharing, a very practical example of it? And I think there's also a reality that's not sometimes acknowledged. Politicians, like everybody else, okay, they'll enjoy an extended holiday. But after a while, your self-confidence, your lack of dignity, It begins to ease into you and into communities. And the politicians in Northern Ireland really do want to get back together. They do want to get back power sharing. But they're also looking over their shoulders at their own community, and they can't be seen to cave in and compromise. And that's why the governments are very keen once more to try and intervene and help.
Well, that's the thing. And there's a very interesting opinion piece in today's Irish Times by Tom Kelly, who is Tony Blair's former official spokesman for many years. He's from Northern Ireland. He knows the situation there very well. He says that the balance of consensus between traditions in the north is looking precarious, to say the least. The crystal vase is on its way to the polished floor, he says. And many people I've been talking to over the last week as well, Tommy, they say, you know, the attacks by dissidents, the trouble in Derry over the Apprentice Boys parade last weekend, this increase in toxic rhetoric at political level, entrenchment of positions, that things are unravelling quicker than people might have expected.
Audrey, Tom Kelly put it very eloquently, but there are, I suppose, more vulgar manifestations of it. Social media is a good example. If you look at some of the exchanges there, if you look at the chemistry that was evident when Arlene Foster and Michelle Gildernew were interviewed on BBC earlier in the week down in Fermanagh, you could cut the tension with a knife. The discomfort, it made for such awkward viewing. And it's not where most people in Northern Ireland want to be. People are not happy with that level of age.
Tommy, thank you very much indeed. Tommy Gorman there, our Northern editor.